Welcome back! It's our 19th show, people, on Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery. I am here with one of my favorite people in the world. It's Gypsy in the house!
Woo-woo!
And Gypsy and I have been talking about growing as artists and persons in recovery. And the other day I called her and I said, I'm molting! I was thinking about like the Wicked Witch of the West. And then I was traveling in Arizona and I got a text from Gypsy and it said, I'm molting! So this show is going to be all about molting. And the idea is about how we go through the process of change and how that relates to our recovery and how that relates to our creativity. Now, Gypsy, being like the really intellectually precocious kind of artist child, went and looked up a bunch of stuff online, and I wondered if you could tell us like some of your favorite molting ideas here.
Okay, so we were just talking about this before the show, because I feel like the more I get to know myself and the closer I get to my animal self, the happier I am in like the, you know, the natural cycles of the world. And so I looked up the word molting because I knew we were going to do this show on molting, and I always find something like cool or interesting in definitions. Total nerd. So Wikipedia had this really cool article, and what I learned is a few things about a few different kinds of animals. So the first interesting fact is that chickens actually stop.
I'm sorry, chickens are just inherently funny. Carry on. I'm sorry.
Chickens, and they stop laying eggs, and while they're molting, and they actually don't start laying eggs again until their new feathers have grown, past tense. So what I thought about that, and what, you know, Kathy had brought up too, is you know, that it's really a time to focus on yourself. You're not really, they're not really reproducing. And also, eggs are kind of like a metaphor for new projects, new creative ideas. So not only are you not trying to make babies, you're also not trying to make creative babies. And so when you're molting, it may just be a time that you have to kind of retreat into yourself and not not start new projects, or too many new projects, because it's just not a great time for that, and chickens seem to know that.
Right, and you know, since we're on this topic of projects and too many projects, you know, we want to note with deep sadness the passing of Philip Seymour Hoffman, such an amazing, gifted artist. And we were talking today about of course, his incredible work, and the fact that as is well known and commonly known, that he was an addict and he relapsed and died. What somebody wrote in one of the pieces online was that he had done 50 movies in 25 years, which means that he never rested. Mm-hmm. And he may have been like, he just didn't have a chance to be in touch with those natural cycles. And the cycles of, you know, you were talking before about being in touch with the seasons and the winter, and that there's a time for us to allow ourselves to rest. And that's one thing I want to say too about like this molting, is that sometimes it's a time like we don't look good, right, while we're doing it. Everybody looks stupid while they're molting and awkward. And but I was thinking when you were sharing about the chickens, is like, it's maybe a time for like self-forgiveness or self-acceptance. Like, yes, I do look stupid, and it's because I'm moving on to this next phase, and I need to regather myself here.
Absolutely. And firstly, I just want to echo the sincerest like feelings towards Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm still in shock and just not over it yet. It always impacts me immensely when we lose another creative genius in this world, and that's what I feel like he was. But I know that without taking that time to rest, especially as an actor and as a musician, you're also an actress. You know, you're putting on a show. At least for me, that's part of it. And you know, we have to really be in tune with who we are. And a lot of times, I mean, the same thing happened with Heath Ledger. You know, he killed himself during the making of the movie where he played the Joker. You know, and a lot of people talk about that getting, when we get too into those roles. So sometimes the molting is kind of about shedding the kind of nonsense that we tack on to ourselves to play whatever role we need to play in our daily lives, but may not be most conducive to our mental health. So,
I'm sorry, I just want to bring it around to the recovery side for a second, because, you know, in one of the programs they say, like, what's appropriate in one phase of your recovery may not be appropriate in another phase of your recovery. And we were also talking about this earlier, about, like, sometimes when we're shifting in our networks or our friends that are around us, and I'm like, that's another form of molting, and I think it's important to allow it. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you're like, if you have the exact same recovery 20 years from when you started, you know, I mean, it's not my place to judge. Let me just put that in the first person. My recovery is totally not the same. And I've gone through those molting stages relative to my recovery too, where I've had to go to like find different people to hang out with or read different books or look at a higher power in a different way. And it's all to the good, but man, is it awkward.
Absolutely. And getting back to like those natural cycles that you brought up, so that brings me to my next fun fact, which is that dogs actually molt in response to a change of melatonin in their pineal gland, which is due to sunlight, the change in sunlight, not actually the change in temperature, which I didn't know that. I've had dogs all my life, and it was always like, oh, it's getting cold, they're getting their fur coat. And that's actually not why they're getting their fur coat. And now this is significant to me, because I've always described myself as kind of a dog spirit, dog-like spirit. And I suffer horrendously from seasonal affective disorder if I'm not noticing it. Now, I don't feel like I have to suffer from it if I know that that's what's happening. There are days that I'm going to be depressed when it's gray and rainy outside for no other reason other than the fact that it's gray and rainy outside. And that is absolutely a part of my reality. I know everybody is not as sensitive to natural cycles, but as a creative artist and as a highly sensitive person, that's been my experience. And so it's interesting to see that, you know, even the animals, their cycles of molting are related to the natural cycles of the universe. And I think what that points out to me too is that we are victims of the physical world, you know, in a way, and we don't have to stay victims. You know, I know the word victim has a negative connotation to a lot of people, but in this way, I don't really think it's negative. I think it's kind of empowering when we recognize that, we recognize our limitations, and we really give ourselves the time to grow.
Right. Well, we could say also like that we're connected to and affected by the natural cycles. Like we can't disconnect from them. Even if we think we are disconnected from them, we're still connected to them. So we're going to take a little break here and play a song. This is a Sheryl Crow song. I hope you like it. It's called "A Change Will Do You Good."
Mercedes Rule.
So we're so glad you're with us today. We're going to continue through the animal kingdom, all the things we can learn from our fellow animals and how they molt and change states and how that can relate. And we can think about it relative to our recovery and our creativity. And so let's hear some more ideas. I know you had some stuff about reptiles you thought was particularly interesting.
I know. So we've got snakes and lizards. Now, what's common between the two of them is that they actually, when it's time for them to molt, they rub against rough surfaces. And so they actually seek out that roughness. And I know that that's some people put themselves in situations that can be tougher than others. And I think the message there is just to expect that there's going to be a period of vulnerability after that. And like Kathy brought up, this I actually didn't write down, was that snakes actually can't see very well. They get this opaque covering over their eyes because of that, they feel vulnerable and are more susceptible to strike. So one of the things that some of us could be aware of is that if we're feeling threatened during a time that we're molting, it may just be distorted perception. It may just be that we can't see very well. And maybe we need to either contact our network, you know, to get some eyes that are not ours, that are not opaque at the moment, to give us their outside perspective on what's going on, you know, or we just need to use pause, you know, the ability to just stop and wait and not just strike like a snake.
It's interesting, you know, I think about what you're saying about using your network, and it's usual, and like almost never does it happen in your circle of friends that everybody's molting at once, mm-hmm. you know, or more molting hard at once. So that's like another reason that artists as well as people in recovery will be safer and more comfortable or more protected during a time like this if they're in community, if they have connections with other people. I think another thing is to just, if we're aware that we're molting, when we are molting, then maybe we can take steps to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves. Like maybe it's not the time to be really brave. Maybe it's not the time to be really out there. You know, if you do a 12-step program, for example, if you're writing about a lot of stuff that happened in your past, you know, that might be a time when you're molting and releasing. Mm-hmm. And so, again, like, gentleness is such a powerful tool for us as artists and as people in recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the next fact, which was, you know, for me, a metaphor for learning from our experiences, is that a lot of these creatures, particularly the reptilian family and also the arachnids and the hermit crabs, they all consume their skin or their exoskeleton after they molt it, which they consume it for the purpose of getting calcium and other nutrients from it. And now, metaphorically, I see that as learning from these experiences, because a lot of times when I go through like a molting phase, everything that I just went through, I want to run away from it. Like, I don't want to touch it again. I feel like an exposed nerve, and even if someone says someone's name who was involved in it, it makes me just like tense up, and I don't want to deal with it. But if I don't learn from those experiences, then I just end up repeating the same thing over again. You know, so for me, going back and like going over it with a sponsor or with somebody in my network that I really trust that has been through it before, which I think is why we go through these things, or journaling, writing a song about it. You know, I think that all those things to process what I've just gone through this period of shedding a layer of skin and getting to that, you know, we say in like the rooms, the layer of the onion, peeling a layer off the onion. You know, while I'm doing that, if I am utilizing the tools that I have to get the most nutrient-rich information out of it, then I'm not going to have to go through it again.
Right, like you kind of regather the raw materials out of it, you know? I think also what you're talking about, when we were talking about before, about that it looks ugly, right? Mm. It looks messy and it looks ugly, but there's a lot of value in there. I know for myself personally, a lot of times when I've been through things, I definitely want to shed them, and I don't want anything to do with them, but I might be missing the lesson if I move away from it too quickly.
And I'm not seeing the beauty in it, right? You know, and this just made me think of something else, which is like when I'm going to recycle something, and it's like covered in food or it's dirty and I just want to throw it out. But then I have more trash in my trash bin. But if I go through the process of cleaning it off and putting it in the recycling bin, there's such like a positive feeling about that. Like I'm doing something good for myself, good for the environment. I'm reclaiming materials for reuse. And all it took was just a few minutes, moments of my time to just wash it off, and like, you know, it becomes this like beautiful process, and I feel better ultimately, and I have less trash sitting there like weighing me down.
Right. Well, and I'm also thinking about the compost thing, which we were talking about the other day, is you know, it's like all this extra bits, and then in my garden, every year my garden is fed by the compost from the previous year, so I'm like kind of paying it forward in that way. You know, I wanted to just tell a funny story about arachnids, which, in case you're not a bug person, arachnids are spiders. I worked for a time in a zoo, and we had tarantulas, and a really interesting thing about tarantulas when they molt is that they actually grow their whole new skin and everything inside of their old one, and then their stomach cavity pops open, it cracks, and they step out. And it can happen that if the process goes really smoothly, what can end up happening is the entire extra old shell of the tarantula can be there, standing up. Because I know that, because I came into the museum one day, and in the little case where the tarantula was, there were two. And it was actually the regular tarantula and its old case standing there. And so that's pretty, I don't know what that means metaphorically, metaphysically, I got no idea. But it's kind of interesting. Maybe it's like a monument, or it's a remembering, you know, that they don't just like, it doesn't destroy, it's just, and that they step out intact is kind of cool.
Okay, beloved listeners, I am started this radio show a couple days ago in New Jersey with Gypsy at my home in front of the fireplace. I'm now in Boulder, Colorado, about to go play the Harmony Foundation Recovery Ski-a-thon. Check that out next year. You might want to come out and ski in Breckenridge, Colorado with a bunch of people in recovery. So I'm editing this, and I want to put this song in here. This is by Blind Melon. It's a song called Change, and reminding you that if you like a song that you hear on this radio show, we totally encourage you to go buy that, support the artist, and that if a song appears on the show, is no comment whatsoever on whether that artist may or may not be in recovery. I got no idea, but I think that's a great tune. It is called Change by Blind Melon.
Coming out today, staying in, it's gonna find another way. Yeah. As I sit here in this misery, I don't think I'll ever know, Lord, see the sun from here. Doors I've been away, they'll all look at me and say, and they'll say, hey, look at him, I'll never live that way, that's okay, it's just a fresh change. what you have to change.
So you have anything other things you want to say about bugs or
just one last thing, which was the hermit crabs. And now I brought up the hermit crabs, though they have been claimed by some to be the most boring of all pets.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know, because
it's partly because when they transform they go underground and stay there for weeks.
And because they never pick the artsy shell.
Tell us about that. I know you have like a little resentment against hermit crabs.
I do, because I had hermit crabs growing up, and I would always get really excited about going to the store and picking them a new shell, because they get, when they grow, they need bigger shells, and they would never pick my shell. I would always pick the artsy, really pretty shell, and they just wanted the boring shell, probably more practical.
That
and
your brother got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, hermit crabs, they bury themselves for a number of weeks, actually, while they molt. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that everybody has a different process of molting. And some people are more introverted, some people are more extroverted, and whatever your process looks like, that's what it looks like for you. You know, and you need to allow yourself to have your process. But at the same time, you know, we talk a lot about isolation and being really careful about not isolating. But sometimes we do need to take the time to take care of ourselves and just recognizing what works best for us. Because for me, there's been a real balance with that. You know, I live on my own now, and I've been learning how to balance isolating versus just spending time with myself and taking care of myself, because I need to do that. I need to replenish myself. And that's been a process for me, because my idea of what that looks like is not the same as Kathy's, nor is it the same of anyone else in my support network. You know, what works best for me works best for me. And it's been a beautiful process, but it's also been very confusing and painful at times.
Well, I think, you know, I think the words that we use are so important. That's why we like go to the dictionary and look stuff up. And I would like to offer, instead of the word isolation, the word solitude. Because solitude is, for me, it's mandatory. I feel like people eventually, to me, are like mold or like fungus. I just feel over-peopled, and I need to be like without people. And there's times I am not isolating. I am in solitude, and that's replenishing. And I don't think the hermit crab is really isolating.
No.
You know, it's doing what it naturally needs to do over millions of years of evolution. That's what it. I mean, because I guess it's also protecting itself. So yeah. So our theme for today is I'm molting, and Gypsy made this great sign because we were trying to figure out like another tagline, and so we got molt like nobody's watching, and we made a sign, and we're gonna put a little video clip up for that, and we'll put a picture up on Facebook if you want to see us. We were actually sitting right by the fire on this really gray and icy day in the Northeast. So there's like a little extra video feature today. Woo!
This has been another edition of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery. My co-host this afternoon was Gypsy. Check her out online. You can think of how to spell her name by remembering it. Give her your power and see. I'm Kathy Moser, your hostess with the mostest, reminding you that there's radio shows on City of Angels, Recovery Radio, every single day of the week, more coming in all the time. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend about it. That's the best thing you could do for us to help us get the word out. We hope that these shows are a useful part of everyone's recovery and creativity. I'm going to close the show today with a song by Taylor Swift called Change. See you next week, folks. Bye.
The final blow hits you. Somebody else gets what you wanted again. And no, it's all the same. Another time and place, repeating. deserve it. But I believe in whatever you do, and I'll do anything to see it through, because these things will change. Can you feel it now? These walls that they put. Fight. Something in your eyes says we.